it's not his first time on the show, yeah? It's not his first time on the show, but well, it's the first time we're having Pastor Gideon Umba after this entire COVID-19 issue started and all of that. So I believe there's a lot to be learned from him. Like I told you guys on the 9 o'clock hour, every time I speak with Pastor Godwin, Pastor Gideon, there's always something I'm taking home. There's something I'm meditating on. There's something that's just, it provokes something in the inside of me. And yeah, like I said, he has a very, very strong apostolic mandate. So, hey, let's get into it at 11 minutes past 10 o'clock this morning on praiseworldradio.com. Let's get to the phone lines and connect with Pastor Gideon Umba. Good morning to you, sir.
Morning, Tola. Yeah. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Let me ring my shaker for you.
I'm not a first caller. It's not my first time with you. So why are you ringing Shekere? What's this special?
This Shekere is just that we're just excited. We're just excited that we have you on the radio this morning. We're just excited.
Thank you, Tola. It's great to be here again.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So tell me, how have you been, sir?
I've been doing good. I've been fine. Just that my personality does not quite adapt well to isolation.
You know, that's very true. That's very true. Like you said, some people, their personality naturally just fits into the isolation because when there was no lockdown, they were on lockdown by virtue of their personality.
Let me tell you this. My wife told me at the beginning of the lockdown, she said, yeah, you know, I enjoy my own company. I enjoy being by myself. I can be in the room for days and just have fun. I think it's people like you that are going to really have a hard time during this shutdown. So, yes, there are people like that who don't mind just doing life by, you know, being by themselves and they enjoy it. And it's not that they don't like to be with people. It's just
how
we have
wired.
All been framed. But yes. So, but we're adapting. We're getting on well.
Wow, amazing. Okay, so there's a lot we can chat about in this hour. We have about 40 minutes to just chat. But I'm thinking, for the fact that you are a pastor in these times, these times that we're in are unprecedented. It's like it's never happened like these, you know, in our lifetime. So as a pastor, I'm just thinking, I'm putting myself in your shoes. What has this phase been like for you, judging from the fact that a lot of your members are also experiencing this and a lot of people are looking up to pastor, you know, to like, yeah, what's going on, sir? Is the world about to end? So what is it like for a pastor, you know, in this particular season?
Well, I must tell you, this is unprecedented, and it's been a season. It's really been a time of, you know, just asking the questions, what is it like? What should it be like pastoring in this season? I tell you, I thought that pastoring people face to face more demanding when you are not there with them, and you have to call, you have to text, you have to stream live, you have to do all of that. And after every streaming session, your head is banging and you're wondering, okay, I'd rather just have these people straight on and all that. But it's you know, pastoring from a distance is quite a new experience. So a lot of us as pastors, now I'm beginning to feel what Paul felt like, you know, writing from prison houses and having to write to the church in Ephesus, in Rome, and all that. And he's not able to see them in person. And the best he can say is, my spirit is with you. Wow. So it's quite challenging. It's a new experience. But I think it's bringing something out of us, how we can become more effective in a world that is fast changing. But I tell you, it's quite a challenging shift. And we are having to do more to keep up with the ship. We're having to do more to pastor when we see people physically. So it's quite a major shift for every pastor, myself inclusive.
Wow. I can just imagine that. So much is changing. Yeah. All right. So in these times, Pastor Gideon, a lot of people are saying a lot of things about this season. is there anything you like to share about this particular season that might further shed some more light about what it is that is going on? Be it from the face value or, you know, from the back end. What can we make of this?
Wow. This is quite, you know, a season where we all need to get back to God and really just seek His face. I think that the interesting thing about this season is that this season is quite a leveler for everybody. Mm. And whether you are, you know, a pastor or you are, you know, just a believer out there, stuff in the marketplace, you're a sinner or a saint, this season is bringing everybody to a place where, you know, there are questions that must really be answered. But I do believe that from a prophetic place and from a place of an understanding of what God is doing, Scripture says we prophesy, we see in part, and we prophesy in part. Mm. So I do think that what God will show to different people, especially those of us in ministry, those of us in the prophetic, will be different parts of a big picture. Mm. So I do not think one person can claim they totally understand everything that is happening in this season, prophetically speaking. Mm. I would think that God will reveal in different parts to different different people, just so that that can drive us to a greater place of humility, a greater place of collaboration, a greater place of understanding that in the end, one of the things I believe God is doing this season is that He's bringing the body of Christ together. Mm. And He's saying, whether you are a pastor, a prophet, a teacher, evangelist, whether you have a mega church or you have a little church, whatever it is, we all can come together. And it's amazing how problems can bring people together, how persecution, how a pandemic, how a virus can literally bring us to the place where we are all, humbled in the place of prayer, just seeking God for what He wants to do. But, you know, the Bible still gives us hope to believe that at times like this, we can trust God. The Issachar dimension can be activated. The Bible says of the sons of Issachar, they understood the times and they understood seasons, knew what Israel ought to do, and their people were at the command. So I believe that in this season, prophetically, I do believe that one of the things that is happening is that this pandemic was happening globally, which, you know, is something that happened the last time we had this was maybe 100 years ago that really shut the world down the way it's doing right now. I believe that this is a pointer to the beginning of sorrows, like Jesus said in Matthew 24, where He said, when you begin to hear of wars, rumors of war, when you begin to hear of pestilences, and when you begin to see these signs, they are the beginning of sorrows. It's like a woman that is close to giving birth. She begins to have those birth pangs, begins to get into labor.
Yeah.
So I do believe that this particular pandemic is a major sign that God is using to begin to open us up to a greater consciousness that we are closer than ever to begin to see some, things begin to happen and unfold, as it has to do with the things that will set up the process for the end times and the things that will begin to happen just before Jesus returns. So I believe that in the end, we need to be more conscious of the fact that we are living in that season where we're going to begin to see, you know, accelerated world events, things that are going to begin to happen at a global scale that will begin to point every humanity back to the fact that, we are closer to the end of age. And two things I believe that the church is called to do it this season. I believe this is going to call an awakening for the Church of Jesus Christ, a revival for the church, so that we need to wake up to the fact that it's no more time to sleep. It's time to redeem the time. It's time to get busy. And it's time to be the church, as it were. So I see a revival, an awakening happening in the church. Then I see a harvest of souls, a massive evangelization of the nations. Because Jesus said the final sign that will then herald my coming will be the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. So I do believe, like never before, this is stirring us to revival, and it's stirring us to reaping the harvest of the nations like never before.
Wow. So the Bible is totally complete in that there's nothing that happens that isn't covered in the Bible in some way. Okay, so now that you're talking
about
this, let's come to Nigeria for a bit, yeah? Those who have been following you closely know that you have always shown this passion for Nigeria. Passion for Nigeria. And not just being passionate, but doing something about it. You have always led this like a prayer call, a prayer army of people who are just bent on praying for Nigeria. And that was not because of COVID or anything. It was just what you had been doing from time. So now it's starting to make a bit more sense. So I just want to ask, for Nigeria, and of course the other nations of the earth, but particularly Nigeria, what role does prayer play in the scheme of things that we're in right now?
Amazing. Well, like you mentioned, you know, 3 years ago, I began strongly that 2020 was going to be a very pivotal year in the scheme of things prophetically. And 3 years ago, the Lord just began to stir my heart to call the next generation to prayer, to call the next generation to seeking God and to wanting to see God move in our nation. And that prayer movement, Somebody Pray, had just been on. Annually, we've been praying. And there was just a sense in which we felt that we needed to, you know, stand in the place of prayer, seek God's face, and you know, just call on Him about raising the next generation that was going to be apostolic, that was going to be positioned by God to fulfill God's purpose for this nation and all that. And so at the beginning of the year, just a couple of months before, before the turn of the new year, I was talking with someone, and we began to talk about how that we sensed the wave of God was going to come into the earth from January. And little did we know that this whole COVID thing was going to come, and certain things were going to begin to happen at the scale they're happening right now. Wow. So talking about prayer, the truth is, in Acts of Apostles chapter 17, the truth remains that God designed for nations to seek Him. The Bible says in Acts 17 that, you know, from one blood, God, you know, let me read that scripture so you just understand what prayer does in the scheme of things when it comes to a nation. Okay. You know, a lot of people think we pray too much in Nigeria and that we are too... Hello, are you there?
Yeah, that we pray too much, like we are too prayerful, huh?
Look, no, I thought I lost you for a bit.
Okay, I'm here, sir.
Okay. So I was going to read about God's purpose for nations and how prayer is at the core of it. The Bible says this was in Acts 17. It says from verse glory to God. Okay, from verse 26. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though needed anything, since he gives life to all and bread and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling, which means God determines the every nation. He determines the season every nation will come forth. He determines the boundaries, the geographic boundaries of nations. And then the Bible says, so that, this is why he did that. This is why God creates nations, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him. Can you imagine that, Tola? God created nations to seek him. He created nations to grope after him, to look, seek after him. So if that's the purpose, one of the purpose why God created nations, then when a nation begins to pray, that nation is fulfilling her prophetic destiny. When a nation begins to cry out to God, that nation is aligning herself with God's purpose. So God designed nations to cry out to him. So in any nation where people are not crying out to God, reaching out to God, groping for God, we know that in prayer we seek for God. And that's why God has designed Nigeria as a nation that is going to be at the forefront, or is at the forefront of beginning to model this to the nations of the earth. Mm. So when it comes to prayer, we've got to understand that prayer is an act of humility. Prayer is an act of submission to God. Prayer is that which causes a nation to align itself with God's purpose for that nation. So when people begin to pray in a nation, God looks down, and particularly when his people, so he says in the book of Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. So I do believe that Nigeria, in the scheme of things, is a nation that has designed to fulfill a prophetic agenda. And it's in the place of prayer we begin to grow, but seek him. And the more we seek him, the more this nation fulfills our destiny. Wow. So there's every reason for this nation to have been divided. There's every reason for this nation to have been disintegrated. This nation is literally an artificial construct from the amalgamation in 1914. It has to be that there's a purpose for which God has brought Nigeria together. There must be a purpose, and I believe that one of the purposes has brought Nigeria to being is that Nigeria is going to be a missionary nation that will literally take the gospel to the ends of the earth in these last days. And so one of the ways to activate the missionary spirit is prayer. That's why Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And he tells us the answer, pray the Lord of the harvest that he might send laborers. For me, when praying for Nigeria and praying in Nigeria, for me, is a response to our prophetic makeup. We are a nation that seeks God, and in seeking God, we are aligning his purpose. And I tell you, even in this crisis, Nigeria is going to rise up and be a beacon of hope, a beacon of strength to the nations of the earth. So we will not stop praying. Amen. Like I'll say, somebody pray.
Yes, yes, somebody pray. You know, I mean, just in that same vein, just before we get into some other thing, just before we leave this prayer thing, some people believe that, do I say destiny now, or in the prophetic, in a way that says if there's something that's going to happen, if there's a prophecy that has been made, for example, about maybe the events that will occur before the rapture and stuff like that, it's going to happen whether or not you pray. There's certain people feel like that. I don't know. What is the balance that can be struck in that you cannot, a school of thought that believes you cannot change what has been written, and another school of thought believing that we need to pray to be able to influence things. So where is the balance? How do we strike a balance in this?
Wow, interesting. Well, the Bible talks about the fact that God rules in the heaven and the earth he has given to the sons of men. The truth remains that God in his sovereignty has a master plan. The earth is the Lord's and his fullness thereof. The times and the seasons are in the hands of the Lord. In his sovereignty, there is a sovereign reserve that God has in his sovereignty, in his eternal plan. He has things worked out. But the truth is, even at that, God calls mankind to cooperate with him in bringing about purposes in the earth, in bringing about his plans and purposes at times. For example, you know, when it was getting to the time where the children of Israel were supposed to, by prophecy, leave Babylon, when they were supposed to return to the promised land, Daniel began to pick it up, because the Bible says, he said, I understood by books. He understood by study, by research, and in the place of prayer, he began to pick up what it is that God wanted to do, what had already been prophesied. So I do believe that it's a delicate balance and a delicate dance between God and man. God will do what he wants to do, but many times he wants to do it with man. He wants to cooperate with man. He wants to cooperate with his church, the earth. So there's a sense in which on this side of the divide, sometimes we just feel God does whatever he wants to do. But the truth is that God calls us to cooperate with him to do what he wants to do. Wow. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. So he leaves us with that authority, that power to bring about his purpose in the earth through our ability to pray, our ability to align ourselves with him in humility and all of that. So I'll say this is the balance. Yes, in God's sovereignty, he has it all worked out. In God's sovereignty, he has a master plan. But in his divine mercy, he calls human beings to be able to respond to him. So this is the way it works. God has designed that certain things will happen, and he calls you to allow to pray.
Okay.
You refuse to pray. He will call somebody else from somewhere around the earth to pray. God does nothing really in the earth except in answer to prayer. So somehow, some people think, no, it just happened. No, God cooperated. He said, will I do anything on the earth except I reveal it to my servants, the prophets? So there's a sense in which God tests mankind to respond to what it is he's doing in the earth. I mean, before this happened, someone like Chuck Pierce, who is a prophet in the nations, declared that February, March, April was going to be a very hard time for the nations of the earth. He picked it up sometime in November, October last year. So God has a way of dropping these things. It's about the readiness of the hearts of men to pick up what God is doing in the heavens. So many times God will do what he wants to do, but the truth is many times he will choose to do it through human beings. So the more we align ourselves to him, the more we are able to come in congruent with his calendar he's doing. So I want to say here that there's a sovereignty of God at play, but there's a participation of man is also at play, bringing God's purposes to pass. For example, the Bible says the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the nations of the earth. Whether we like it or not, God will hold Jesus up until we preach the gospel. But you know, in his sovereignty, he's going to have to stay church. He's still going to have to stir us according to his calendar to pray, to do what we have to do. He's going to allow the world to get so dark so that the light will shine through us. So it's in the sovereignty of God. He has it all worked out. He predetermines this, but in time, he stirs up the hearts of men to align with what he has already predetermined. And it's a matter of who will surrender, who will align with God's will. There is a delicate balance, the sovereignty of God and the availability of men.
Wow, that is a balance. That is I think a lot of people need to get to this point, need to understand this thing, because the extreme of any of the two will just bring in a lot of error in there. Thank you so much for shedding light on that.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's get back to the times that we're in right now. This lockdown, isolation, quarantine, and all of that. I recall seeing a message from you saying that we are not in isolation but in a season of separation that will lead to manifestation. Yes,
manifestation.
That's it. Yes. Can you help break that down a little bit? Because there's a lot of people. Wow. You know, this is a time. I had a chat with Pastor Emisi yesterday, and I remember saying this is a time where a lot of people are also constipated. Like they're taking it a whole lot. There's so much information out there. There's so much. There's just so much people are consuming out there to a point where people don't even know exactly, they're not really digesting what they are taking in so well. So a lot of people have said, is it time for you to rest? Some say, oh, no, is it time for you to learn new skills? Some say, oh, is it time for you to, you know, to just have your revival, your mountain experience? Just a lot of people saying things that or how things should be done with this season. So that's why I'm asking for a bit of clarity in this subjection about not being in isolation, but this being a season of separation as we look forward to the life after COVID-19.
Amazing. Well, I'll begin by saying the moment I heard that word isolation, it just didn't sit with me because I know that God designed us for community.
Mm.
God designed us for bring life together. Our spiritual, mental, and physical construct was designed to be filled and sustained by community. So we anything that isolates human beings is taking them out of God's divine plan. Even when God was going to create man, he said, let us make man, let us. So even God could not make man without in isolation. He couldn't make man in isolation. Made man in the company of the Trinity. Okay, I'll come back to that sometime later. You know, so God's greatest creativity was expressed in collaboration. So and in doing love together. So anything that separates us, I know this is a physical kind of separation, but the truth remains that there's power in touch. There's power in there's a psychological side to just being seeing people, being around people, touching people, exchanging a hug, and doing all of those things. These are powerful things that keeps us as social beings going. So whether we like it or not, this is Satan's point to destroy lives. I know that it's a good, it's scientifically and medically, it's okay to do that right now just so that we can stop the spread of a virus. But ultimately, we need to understand that Satan is riding on this. People are depressed. People are going into destructive habits. People are in crazy a state of mind. We will need a lot of psychotherapy, a lot of psychiatry, it's a lot of mental health intervention after this season. So what I'm trying to say in essence is that isolation thing is not God's original plan. Yes, we are having to do it right now temporarily, but I do believe that right now. That's why as believers, we must then see deeply what the enemies do. We must be able to ride on it to be able to fulfill God's plan. This is what happens to every believer. All things work together for the good of them who love the Lord.
Yes,
this is what happens to a believer. We are able to take a negative situation and we turn it on for good. So someone like Paul was in prison. He was in prison. If you read Philippians chapter 1, he said, I'm speaking from the place of my chains. He said, but the things that happened to me has turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. What was it that happened to him? He was arrested and he was put in isolation. He was put in a prison house. And he said, that happened to me. I didn't make it happen. It was something that happened just like this virus and this pandemic is something that happened to us. But as believers, we know how to turn the things that happen to us around so that it furthers the purpose of God. So isolation is happening to us, but our perspective is different. It's isolation, that's what the world calls it, but for us it's separation. It's separation onto manifestation. So from that prison house, Paul wrote almost 2/3 of the New Testament as we have it today. So that in a time, at a time where the world, the Roman government thought we have this guy aside, they didn't realize that what they called isolation, God was calling separation. God was saying, I'm giving you more time, giving you the clarity of thought, I'm giving you the serenity so that you can write, and when you write 2,000 years later, people will still be reading about what you wrote. So that's what I believe is happening in this season. Another man, John the Beloved, was banished to the island of Patmos, and he was supposed to just be in isolation. And then right in that middle of isolation, what the world called isolation, God called separation. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, he said, I heard a voice that said to me, come up hither. And he was elevated out of that place of isolation into the place where he saw the revelations of God. Can you imagine that it was in the season of isolation that John the Beloved literally wrote the book of Revelation. It was in the place of isolation that John the Beloved saw how this age will end. It was in the place of isolation. For me, see differently. My perspective is different. You cannot isolate a true believer. If you try to do that, life will be generated, power will be generated, revelation will be generated. So I want to say to every believer, you've got to see something. There's got to be revelation in this season. You've got to catch a fresh revelation of who you are in God. You've got to develop yourself. Whatever you need to do to become more prepared and position for post-COVID, you've got to do it. It's a season to seek God. It's a season to strengthen your relationship with God, your relationship with your family. I tell you, this is also a season to see homes healed. It's also a season to see people strengthen their routines and the things that really make so your routine and the things that keeps you going. So for me, it happened to us. It happened to us. Isolation happened to us. But I dare say, I choose to see what happened to me turning out for the furtherance of the gospel, turning out for manifestation. Amen. And the Bible says the earnest expectation of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So don't waste the isolation. Make sure it produces manifestation.
Amen. Amen. Good stuff. Really good stuff. I would like that you say a prayer just before we wrap up this one. But just before we pray, sir, for those who are listening to the show right now, what would you say in practical terms are things that we should look out to do or to engage in this period to help us manifest, basically? What are the practical activities or habits to cultivate, or, you know, things to do, basically, in this period? What would you recommend?
Okay, if I'm talking to believers, I'll just say this is a time to strengthen your communion with God. Your communion with God. And this has to do with, you know, your ability to stay in God's presence, stay in the Word of God, use this time to study, to pray, to build a relationship with the Lord. So communion is very key in this season. And draw near to God in prayer, in the study of God, or build yourself spiritually. And then I do also believe that beyond that, you need to be able to stay committed. And commitment will mean that you need to develop certain habits and certain things that makes for, you know, your growth, your personal routine, spiritually, mentally, and physically. I want to say to people, as you grow spiritually, it's a time to stretch mentally, to read, to engage your mind, to research, develop yourself in the area of your expertise, in the area of your trade, because our world is going to be different after now. It's time to read. It's time to get yourself positioned in the place of self-development mentally and get yourself ready for the things that are going to happen. Businesses are going to be different. The way we do church is going to be different. The way we travel is going to be different. The way we sell is going to be different. So you want to develop yourself spiritually, but you also want to develop yourself mentally. And I think physically also, you want to keep fit. You want to do the things you need to do to present your body holy to God, and also exercise, get yourself in the right physical state, eat well, and don't overeat and all that. But I also want to say that another thing would be to stay in the community. The power of community is so powerful. Don't lose your community. Whatever represents community for you, you've got to identify, whether it's your natural family, whether it's your friends, your mentors, your spiritual family, your church folks, your pastor, the people who you do life with. This is a season to really know those who are connected to you. It's a season to define and to be able to, you know, define your relationships and invest into those relationships. Because I tell you, post-COVID, a lot of people are going to know those who really love them, or those who really cared for them in this season. So I also believe that it's important. Then finally will be stay with the commission. So I've talked about communion, commitment, community, then the commission. We've got to stay with the commission. The commission will mean that we will need to keep preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We cannot keep quiet. A virus cannot cleanse the church. The church is too powerful. Woo! We carry something that all go viral. Gospel of Jesus Christ must ride on the back of this virus to see the nations change, must ride on the back of this fear to see people receive faith. It must ride on the back of this darkness to see the light shine in the nation. So it is a time to preach the gospel. It's time to go viral with whatever you're doing. It's time not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I do believe that with these four C's, we can stay in focus, stay in communion with God, stay in committed to our routines, and that will include even the things that has to do with our daily routines, and then staying in our communities, whatever relationships God has given to us, supporting those people, and then serving the people that are around us as we even fulfill the commission of God. Part of that commission in this season will be that we need to preach the gospel from a place of good works. The Bible says that men may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is... So our gospel will not just be in words at a time like this. Our gospel should also be in good words. To reach out to a neighbor, you need to share with someone. You need to reach out to people and feed at a time that they support a couple, support a family, support those who are not able to support themselves at a time like this. I believe by so doing, we'll be living out the kingdom life and we'll be opening up the platforms for the gospel to preach like never before. But I believe that this, we're going to come out of this sugar, we're going to come out of this wiser, we're going to come out of this more position to see where this move of God.
Amen. Thank you so very much, sir. I would like that we said a prayer just before you leave, sir.
Wow. Thank you, Tola, again for this opportunity. And I want to say to everybody out there, this opportunity to see the nations respond to him. And as believers, we just stay in the place of prayer, we need to stay in the place of intercession for the nations and keep declaring God's word in this season as people of God. And I want to pray for people out there who are depressed. I say that there are people who are depressed in this season of isolation. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of depression off your life.
Amen.
The power of demonic oppression that is coming into your mind. Amen. Suicidal spirit, depressive spirits. Amen. In the name of Jesus, I declare, in the name of Jesus, Satan loses his hold over your mind. I declare healing for you in the name of Jesus. I pray for people who have lost, loved ones in this season. In the name of Jesus, I pray the comfort of the Holy Spirit over you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray for our frontline workers and people who are daily risking their life to save other lives. I pray in Jesus' name that you strengthen our frontline workers. We pray for the government of our nation that in this season they will be filled with wisdom to be able to govern and to be able to lead us through this crisis, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus for the body of Christ that will rise up to be the church. We'll rise up, oh God, to fulfill your purpose as a church, to pray and to, oh God, speak your word into the nations at a time like this, to love and to release your lights and your life to the world. Father, I pray for everyone watching me, and I just pray, Lord, that in this season you will strengthen them. I pray for hope for, oh God, who don't even know where to get the next meal or get the supplies from. I just pray in the name of Jesus that you supernaturally intervene, oh God, strengthen someone today. I declare, Lord, that you are the hope of all nations and you're the hope of everyone listening to me. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that your strength be released, your grace be released upon all of us today. I bless Tola and the Praise World team for what you're doing with them, Lord. We give you the praise in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you so very much for being such a blessing to us on the show this morning. Words cannot explain how much of a blessing you've been to us this morning. Thank you so very much. And our love to the family and to the Manifold International Church family as well.
Thank you, Tola. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Have a lovely rest of the day.
I'll do just that.
All right, sir. Bye.